To Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? Hey, it's Monday, y'all. The beginning of the weekend. Y'all know what that means. Mad Monday is upon us. That's right. Whatever you want to talk about, however long you want to talk about it, it doesn't matter. That's right. Because today is your day to speak your mind, say what you want to say, do what you want to do. But before we do, you do all that, there's some things we need to get out the way, all right? Number one, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am Mr. Talk, your host for the day, for the next 2 hours anyway. And if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or Facebook me at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And you can also join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. Whatever way you choose, I would know you're there. Just let me know. All right? That's right. And we got you. Got you covered, man. I'm telling you, got you covered. So, let's see. It's been a pretty smooth weekend so far. Nothing major happened that I noticed. But we get to that in a minute. Let's see. Friday we had a very interesting show as well, and some things were talked about and discussed, and you know I'll be covering that at the beginning here in a little bit, and because there's some things I need to correct and some things I need to put out. But you know what? I'm going to wait for a moment because there's something else I need to – I think I need to restate the rules, okay, again, because, you know, they got kind of crazy Friday. So I think they kind of forgot the rules a little bit. So I need to go ahead and throw those out here, you know, once everybody gets here. And so there'll be no misunderstanding as to what's supposed to go on here on Let's Talk, because we had some language being used that I normally don't accept. And I put the blame on me because I didn't uphold my standards. And so I set a new standard, but we finna create the real standard on the show. So yeah, I got to be held responsible for allowing certain things to happen on the show. So that one's on me. You know, everybody basically got an alibi, you know, but that's not going to happen from here on out. Okay. So I'm just being the man that I am and let y'all know. That's what's going to happen. Now, let me give my shout-outs real fast. We got Deep H2O in the house, Mr. Intellectual himself. What's going on down in OGAATL? Then we got Enjoying Life out of the T-Town, FLL. And then we got Guest 1109, Anonymous. Don't know where they're from, but they're here. So good afternoon to you. I'm glad y'all can make it today. And for everyone else out there listening on your different devices, welcome to the show, and I really hope you enjoy it. But remember, you you are free to call in, join us in the chat room, email me, Facebook me, however you want to talk to me. It's no problem. You know, we accept all opinions. We turn no one away. You know, we just have certain rules that must be followed, and that's it. You know, but let's get something straight also, okay? If you come in, and I used to say this a long time ago, I guess I got away from it, but I guess I need to bring it back up, all right? If you come in here throwing lefts and rights and hooks and uppercuts, don't expect me to save you, okay? Because you came in here throwing them, and pretty much I'm going to let you get hit back. It's just that simple. You know, I'm not going to give you a standing eight count or nothing like, just like you came in here dishing out punishment, make sure you can take it. All right? It's just that simple. That's not hard to understand, is it? No. You get what you give. That's all I'm saying. You get what you give. I know. Let's see. I got a song of the day for you also. And, man, I'm telling you, this should make you laugh. This song here, I'm telling you, if it don't make you feel good, get a little giggle in your day, I'm telling you, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Some of y'all just downright not human then. I mean, because every time I hear this song, I fall out. it's old school somewhat. But also, you know, you see still going on. They just don't publicize it as much as they used to back in the day. But, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and play the song of the day first. And from there, we'll come back and we'll discuss the rules of the show, you know, because I think I do need to reiterate what those are. And then we'll talk catch up on what was discussed Friday and some of the things that were put out that we need to go ahead and bring a little closure to also. And then it's up to y'all what we're going to talk about. You know, it's Mad Monday. You control what the topic is. You also control how long we talk about it. You know, so no topic is off limits. That's what I always say, right? Right. You know, so it's easy, man. Just come on and join us, all right? So without any more talking going on, let me go ahead and play this song of the day, and I'll see y'all on the other side. Here it is, y'all. Mr. Ray Stevens and The Streak.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over by the tomatoes, and here he comes. Running through the pole beans, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel." And it's too late. She'd already been in since.
Here he comes.
Boogie-dad, boogie-dad.
There he goes.
Boogie-dad, boogie-dad.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Well, yes, they call him the Streak.
Boogie-dad, boogie-dad.
Fastest thing on 2 feet.
Boogie-dad, boogie-dad.
He's just as proud as he can be. If there's an audience to be found, he'll be streaking it round, inviting public critique.
This is your Action News reporter once again, and we're here at the gas station. Pardon me, sir, did you see what happened?
Yeah, see, I was just in here getting my car checked, and he disappeared out of the traffic. Come streaking around the grease right there. Didn't have nothing on but a smile. I looked in there, and Ethel was getting her cold drink. I hollered, "Don't look, Ethel!" It's too late. She'd already been mooned. Flashed right there in front of the shop or so.
He ain't loose.
Boogity, boogity.
He ain't loose.
Boogity, boogity.
He's just in the mood to ride in the news.
Oh, yes, they call him the Streak.
Boogity, boogity.
He likes to turn the other cheek.
Boogity, boogity.
He's always making the news. Wearing just his tennis shoes. Guess you could call him unique.
Once again, your Action News reporter in the booth at the gym covering the disturbance at the basketball playoff. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, see. Hey, Tom, I was just going down there to get Ethel a snow cone. Here he come, right out of the cheap seat. Dribbling. right down the middle of the court. Didn't have on nothing but his TS. Made a hook shot and got out through the concession stand. I hollered up at Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" Too late. She'd already got a free shot. Grandstand. Right there in front of the home. Hey.
What if they call in the street?
Here comes the kid. Who's that with it? Ethel. Is that you, Ethel?
He's just as proud as he can be.
What do you think you're doing?
He gonna give us
you
a
get
piece.
Your clothes on.
What if they call in the street?
Ethel, where you go?
All right, that was Ray Stevens and The Streak. I know some of y'all don't even remember that song, but I remember back in the day when The Streak was on. That was the thing to do. And you know what the funny part about it? They was actually showing on TV a lot of times. They don't do it anymore, you know. They figured out they were doing it for attention, so they don't even show it. They talk about it, but they never show them anymore. But, hey, I thought that would be a nice song to get your little giggles in your life and let's show what's going on. All right? Yeah. All right. Well, that was your song of the day. All right. Now, let's get down to business. All right. Once again, if you want to be a part of the show, 347-838-8622, email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, and join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right. The rules of the show. You know, I know a lot of individuals, we have a lot of new people here, and they may not be aware of the show. And as I say, I take responsibility for Friday. A lot of languages used that I usually don't allow. So let's go on and get it out the way. All right, number one, there will be no personal attacks allowed on the show. All right, I did, you know, I did go ahead and allow some things, and I shouldn't have. Like I said, that was on me. All right, so... Never mind. We're going to correct that from here on out. Number two, the N-word is not allowed on the show. And if y'all, anybody listen to it, we sure had a lot of that going on, you know, and I can't allow that. I'm sorry. That's just something I don't care what anybody said means, and I don't care what anyone else said or how they feel about it. On this show, we would not say that word, period. Okay? That's what I believe. It's my show, and that's what we're going to abide by. Okay. Two, all the profanity that was going on, y'all know better than that. Come on. Let's keep it clean, because you never know who's actually listening. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes kids listen to the show. Sometimes elderly individuals listen to the show. They don't want to hear all that. In that case, they can listen to a lot of rap music. Okay. Come on. Let's get it clean. I know we can have a conversation without having it profanity laced. I know this. Okay, and we will do that here on the show. All right, there's no hoes, no chicks, no bitches, no all that kind of stuff. No, we're not doing that. All right. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm just letting y'all know. No personal attacks. That's right, and no talking over each other, because that was a lot going on too. And let me tell you something. You know. If you one of the few that always complaining about you never are allowed to talk, but in the same breath, you turn around and won't allow anyone else to talk, you need to get it together. Just that simple. You need to get it together, all right? Because you can't ask for one thing, but you're not allowing anybody else to do the same thing. That is not going to be allowed, all right? So if you one of those ones that do that, you better check yourself, because you're definitely going to wreck yourself. All right. And let's see. Anything else? I think that's pretty much it. Oh, yeah. All these words that are not allowed while you're on the line are not allowed in the chat room either. OK. No. If I'm not going to allow you to say it live on the air, I'm not going to allow you to type it up in my chat room. I don't mind kicking you out. If I got to do that to get the show back to where I want it to be, I will kick you out. I have no issues. You'll be back. If not, hey, see la vie. That's probably not what it be, but I'm just saying, you know, a V-design. Choose. See you later. Bye-bye. Ciao. All right. Okay. So those are the rules of the show. That's what they are. So I've said it, and I really, really would appreciate some of the regulars. If we got new people on here, y'all need to help me enforce those rules also. Okay, please. Because y'all been here long enough, y'all know what they are. So, you know, if I miss it, y'all can catch it. It's no problem. I got you. All right? I got you. Now, since we done gone over that, we got that out of the way. I see we got Ava Indiana in the house, a.k.a. the goat man from Montana. And then we got Ebony Empress. Hey, Ebony. How you doing? Nice picture on Facebook, too. I like that picture. It's nice. All right. So, all right. So, that's that. And we're going to move right along here. Okay. Let's see what we got going on. Friday. Ah, yes, 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 yes. Uh-oh. Hold on. Wait a minute. Stop the press. All right. We back. All right. Friday. There was a debate or, I guess, miscommunication. A miscommunication about Mr. Beasley himself saying that he was bisexual. And Renee says she heard it. And, you know, a lot of us said we didn't hear it. Well, after going back and listening to the show, you know, and paying close attention to what was being said, I must admit Mr. Beasley did say it. Now, however, the content in which he said it was not relating personally to him. He was making a point about the other owners in the league. And he basically says, you know, if I was Donald Sterling and I had my lawyers, I would have my lawyers dig deep into the other owner's past. And he also was saying that if he was an owner, he don't know if he would vote against him because, you know, if they found out that they were, and he used himself as an example, I was bisexual or beat my wife, I don't know if I would want to vote against him. Now, that's what Mr. Beasley said, okay? And he was referring to the other owners in the NBA, National Basketball Association. Okay, that's what he said. Now, when Renee came in, Renee said, Beasley, did I hear you say you was bisexual? And then she giggled afterwards. All right. Now, as I said, what we had there was a miscommunication, basically. You know, I don't know how I got to Mr. Beasley saying what I do. It was miscommunication, you know, and Beasley, I got to admit, he did try and take the high road, but he went down the back road after a while anyway. So I do believe, shut up, H2O. So I do believe, honestly, they owe each other an apology, okay? That's the way I feel. I mean, I didn't hear it at first, but once I went back and listened to it, I understand. So, yeah. You know, apology. I don't know. Yeah, I think they should both apologize and be over with it. All right. You know, one shouldn't attack the other, and the other one shouldn't attack them. You know, I think, you know, it was meant as a joke, but the way it came out, no one else understood what she was saying. Okay, and so it just came out wrong. The perception of the comment was not what it was meant to be. Okay. So, is everybody clear on that now? All right, we got that under control because I don't want to hear about it today. You know, besides, you know, them two handling it, say, I apologize, and we move on. We a big family here. You know, sometimes we get in a fight and we say things, and I'm not going to say you don't mean them because some of y'all mean what you say. Hey, let's be honest. If it comes out your mouth, 9 times out of 10, you mean it. Okay? But let's fix that, all right? So I think hopefully we got that squared away. Shut up, H2O. All right. Now, when we was talking about Donna Sterling, we threw out some names there about who could possibly afford to buy the Clippers. You know, we had Mayweather, what's the name? Mayweather Jr., Oprah Winfrey, Don King, Magic Johnson. Well, you know, as someone said earlier, neither one of these people can go out there and buy the team by themselves. Okay? They can't do it. It's not possible. All right? Now, the only one that may be able to do it, and I really don't think he can either, is, what's his name? Dr. Patrick Song-Shong. Okay, he's one of the richest men in Los Angeles. Okay, and his net worth is $7 billion. $7 billion. Now, he bought Magic Johnson's stock in the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, now, here's the catch to this whole thing. If you want to buy an NBA team just straight off from the block today, you got to have at least $25 billion in the bank. Okay? $25 billion. That's what you got to have. Just a starter team. Okay? Now, Floyd Mayweather Jr., he has a net worth of $150 million. Okay? Oprah. Oprah had a net worth of, let's see, where was it? I had it on here somewhere. Oh, Oprah is $3 billion. You know, $3 billion. That's it. Entertainment mogul David Geffen, $6.2 billion. All right. Don King, he was worth $290 million in 2009, but in 2014, he is only worth $150 million. Okay? Magic Johnson only is worth $500 million. So as the conversation went on, you know, the majority of us said the same thing. They can't do it alone. And if anybody really wanted to, depends on what the franchise is going to sell for, if it's going to sell at all, you know, I think if anybody wanted to get into it, you know, they would have to go in with some partners. Now, Oprah has made an interesting comment, though. Oprah says, you know, she really doesn't want it as a business deal. You know, she wants it to make a social statement. That's what she says, a social statement. All right? And she also says she thinks it would be great from an important black American. It would be important that an important black American to own the franchise. So she's not really trying to buy it to run it, because she won't have anything to do with running it. No, she just thinks it would be a great social point, you know, that a African American would own a part of the team. Well, is that a viable reason to buy a team? You know. You know, because the majority of NBA owners, you know, just from the franchise standpoint, they about break even if lose money, okay? Where they make their money is from the broadcasting and advertising and things like that. But just straight on basketball team players and the fans, most of them break even or even lose money. So that's why you have to have so much in the bank, because you're going to have to offset that some kind of way. Not talking about the taxes and things like that. So, you know, just to add a little more to the conversation that we had Friday about, you know, what would happen if somebody owned the team. All right? So, now that I have gotten all that out, and, hey, just putting it out there. The average NBA, well, it's one thing. The average NBA team is valued at $393 million. That's a lot of money, you know, but it takes $25 billion in the bank so you can buy any team you want. Wow, that's a lot, too. But, Interesting. I just thought I'd bring that up and take, you know, let y'all know some numbers. You know, some people are numbers people, so I guess you get a better understanding. You know, it's what it is. Well, H2O, yes, they do. If you're just looking at the franchise itself, as far as players versus fans, they lose money. They lose a lot of money. Now, but when you kick in the television revenue sharing and broadcast and, you know, the what is the other things, sponsors and things like that, that's where they make their money at. They don't necessarily make money off the franchise itself. Now, I'm just telling you, N2K, I know you're going to say no, they don't, but I'm telling you what I have researched and what I read. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. No, some lose more money than others. Now, most teams in the big major markets, they don't lose as much as the teams in the smaller markets. That's where the revenue sharing comes in throughout the whole league. So it could help support those teams in the small markets that don't have the fan base or the winning tradition as other teams have. Just that simple. I'm just putting it out there, man. Come on. Come on, man. Let me stop. All right. So that's what I'm saying, okay? Lord have mercy. All right. What are they losing? Depends on the franchise. You know, there's not one specific number you can say around the whole league, but I could find that for you. That's no problem. But let me go ahead and bring these two callers in, and I get that for you, N2K. No problem. All right, first we're going to bring the first guy in. 111, welcome to the show. How can I help you today? Hello. Talking to you.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Beasley.
Oh, good. Hey, good afternoon. You know, I remember the streak. I said that song sounds familiar, and I remember the streak. I remember buying the 45.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
That was the number one song.
Yeah, I know.
That was the number one song in the United States, England, all over the place. It was an international number one song. It was a country song too. I was like, that sounds familiar. Yeah, I remember the streak.
All right, hold on for a minute. Beasley. Let me bring this other call in also, okay? Hold down. All right, let's see. We got another 111 in this area. Welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
You know what, Mr. Talk? You are so biased. You know, I've been cussed out and been offended on your show for about almost a year and a half. You've never went back.
You know what? I don't know why Michael going to call me early this in the show and start some mess already. And I am not biased. I tell it like I see it, Michael. And a lot of times, Michael, you start more than you don't give. So back up off me, all right? Back up. And I told you. But go ahead, Beasley. Go ahead what you were saying. We'll bring Mike in a minute.
Frank McCourt is the guy that bought the Dodgers from Fox, and Fox had bought the Dodgers from the O'Malley's, the family, which owned them all the way back in Brooklyn. But so when McCourt bought them, he paid $400 million for them. That must have been 97. That must have been 97. And he financed the majority of it. He's a parking lot mogul out of Boston. And he financed the majority of it. So, you know, one person that's interested in the team probably could do it with financing. He financed it and end up, you know, bankrupting the team and still making out like a fat rat. Another thing about a black owner of the Clippers, you know, we might take a lot of pride in that, but, you know, I would rather see some investment in the community there. I think that would help more than the people than just taking some pride that there's a black owner.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I think that's what Oprah's is saying. You know, maybe that'd be a change, you know, a social statement that black African Americans own a team, you know, besides what's his name. You don't think so?
A social statement. We don't need social statement. We need nuts and bolts, help and resources. in the community, in the inner city community, the people that are struggling and suffering the most.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. And there's plenty of black millionaires, multimillionaires, to make something happen without the government.
Hmm. Okay. I guess you got a point there.
As far as the whole soap opera stuff you brought up, would you believe I haven't thought twice about that?
Well, you know,
and I'm really surprised that anybody is.
Well, you know what?
That caught me off guard.
You know what? We argued about, well, I didn't hear that and you didn't hear that. So, you know, I had to go back and check out for myself, you know, to get some clarity on it, because I don't want anybody saying I'm, you know, as Mr. Allfax just called in and say I'm biased or what have you. you know, I just wanted to put it out there.
Well, maybe because I said what was said and I knew the context in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't trip, and I'm not, you know, I don't really care that much what people think anyway.
Mm. Okay.
But you
well,
set the record straight for anybody that was concerned. But you know, it doesn't whatever anyone's sexuality is, it doesn't take any away from the power and the force and the charisma and the logic of their words. That's what we're working with here.
Mm.
That's what makes people on these shows interesting, is the things that they have to say and their thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
Not what someone's sexuality is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that even would come into play on a radio show, unless somebody just wants to try to throw a rock at somebody.
Ah, okay.
There it is.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When someone calls in here, or the people that call in here, what makes them compelling and interesting to listen to is the content of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me.
But like I said before, Mr. B.
Or lack of content.
Yeah, well.
Right.
You know, in that instance, you know, it was taken out of context because she was joking. But, you know, I think it got to the point to where it was misunderstood when it finally hit you. And then you, oh, wow, really? Anyway, and, you know,
yeah,
I think.
I'm no angel, and I tried to take the high road. But if you keep needling at me, you're going to get a reaction.
Well, I think you owe an apology, just like I think maybe she owe an apology. So it's all
well,
good.
You want to know something? I don't require any apology because it's all in the game. It's okay. I don't really require one. And if you need me to do one, I can hold my nose and cross my fingers and apologize. Whatever. Let's talk about the topic.
All right. Well, there really is no topic today. It's Mad Monday. But let me bring Michael in so I can deal with him real fast. Now, Mr. Allfax, how are you doing today first? And I hope you had a wonderful weekend.
Yes, you know I'm poking with you. You know I had to get my shots in. I knew you was going to put me on mute, you know. I'm not offended.
Well,
I knew I was going to get the guns and the volleys and the artillery at me. But what's wonderful. I'm doing wonderful day. Wonderful day. I'm happy.
Buckshot.
I'm feeling good. Life is wonderful right now.
But life is wonderful.
Let's get into the topic. Yeah, real quick. I wanted to make 2 points. You would bring us some figures. But what Oprah said is right. Well, everything is social and business. I keep on saying it over and over again. Now, of course, when you have a business, it's not going to be a charity. You're going to make profits. But having a social issue, when people try to advertise you and get that propaganda, so to speak, they try to change the social minds of people. They try to say, if you get this socially, people are going to look at you and they're going to give you respect. Everything, business comes down to social. The reason why we're talking about this is because he said something socially that people didn't like. How he looks at someone socially and how he's determined, business always comes down to social. So making a social statement, getting this franchise, and maybe it could be a symbol of something. or symbol of change, or another symbol where people, black people, can come and work together and own, and that can be the first team. And, you know, it may be multiple teams. But I don't understand your figures, though. You're saying that in order for a person to buy a team, they have to have $25 billion when a team is only worth they have to have $25 billion in the bank.
He said million.
But,
yeah.
No,
25 billion, because the average team.
Okay.
Listen. No, you listen. The average NBA team is worth $393 million. Now,
Okay, now you're saying.
Yeah, but see, what you're failing to realize, you still have other costs included in, you know, that you're going to have to cover. I mean, you come in here with $393 million, right? Okay, so there. Now, you got the team, but where's your other capital in case something go wrong? You see what I'm saying? It's more than just buying the team.
No, okay, now let me respond, please. When you're saying an owner has to have $25 billion just to play in a game where the team
is owned. He said million.
Owners
that aren't even worth $25
billion. Why would you cut me off? No, Mr. Talk. Listen to me.
Because
I'm
it's million,
Mr.
not billion.
Why are you correcting me?
It's million, not billion.
Why are you correcting me, dumbass? We'll correct Mr. Talk.
Oh, Lord. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Now I'm a dumbass.
Because why are you talking to me?
You're engaging in name calling. I'm just correcting you.
Okay.
Because it hurts to hear you guys say the same thing over again over on a misunderstanding. It's not making the conversation progress.
All right, hold on. Let me go back and say what I said in the beginning. So there's no miscommunication once again. All right? The average NBA team is valued at $393 million, okay? Therefore, $25 billion in the bank can buy you any team you want, okay? That's starting out. Now, if you depend on what the team is selling for, then that's a whole different figure. That's just average right there. That's just average. Let's get this point. That's just average, okay? Average. That's all it is, average. A combined number of, you know, all 30 teams. That's what that is, okay? Let's go on and get that straight. Okay, so, you know, it is that, and that's it. Okay, now, 22 of the 30 teams, and this is why you need more than just the $393 million, lose an average of $370 million a year collectively. That's what I'm saying. So out of 30 teams, only 8 teams are even breaking even or making a profit. So you just can't go in and buy with $393 million and say you're good, because you got to have more than that. Just in what they call it, in case money. You know what I mean? You got to pay your players still, don't you? You got to pay staff and things. Come on now. That's simple economics right there. Simple. All right. Anyway, I'm opening up these mics and let me bring someone else.
Okay, I respond because, right, I haven't even talked about, I'm talking about the topic. I've been muted, talked over, Beasley interrupting me. Can I please explain?
Hold on for a minute, Michael. Let me explain something to you. Will you listen? Okay, now, listen, Michael. Now, see, a lot of times you come on here and you complain about people not letting you talk, all right? But that's like calling the kettle black, you know what I mean? The pot calling the kettle black, because you don't allow other people to speak either. I'm just going to put it out there. So you can't require that they let you speak if you don't do the same thing for them. Understand what I'm saying?
Mr. Talk, I want you to go back to all your shows and archives. Even when I cut somebody off, you mute me. So it's not a problem me over-talking nobody. And everyone talks over-body. And if you go back to this archives, I'm talking to you, and Beasley's cutting me off and getting me.
All right, this is my show. I ain't got to listen to that. Let's see, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Damn, I hope it's me. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing? Eric Beasley
I'm
and
doing
the rest.
Fine.
Let me tell you, Michael is borderline insane. I like Michael. Michael does not understand English. He does not understand logic. But look here, what you're talking about is a community that is broke. And I was just contemplating this. I listened to survey a number of these shows. If you can't make it in America, you can't make it anywhere, because every other group is going to fight you. That's what economics is. Economics is a competitive sport practiced by groups. And so what I'm saying here, just to drawstring this, at minimum, a group needs to control what it uses. In other words, that's its source and resource, if you follow what I'm saying. Whatever that particular group, however they want to identify them, I talk about ideas. Usually people identify based on culture, and there are other micro distinctions that are made, and I have no problem with that. But the thing of it is, you have to have a constant, in finance, we call it multiple streams of income. See, most of the people that are talking
called
about
monies.
Money are
it's called monies when you have multiple streams. Monies. I'm in finance.
Hold on.
Monies.
Mike. See, Michael couldn't pay for his show. That's the reason he's, bandied about on everyone else's show.
You don't have a show. You never could play for your show. You never had a show, and you don't know nothing about my finances, and there you go assuming. Let's get back to the dollar amount, billions and millions.
All right.
And you don't
Hold
know
on.
Shit about me, brother. You blind
Hold
in the
on.
Wheelchair, all I know.
That's. I know he doesn't have that year's salary in reserve. I know that. And I think most of the people don't.
And guess
and
what?
So
guess
the
what?
Thing of it is,
you,
you can't
your,
buy a
put my portfolio against yours.
Buying a team is a reflection of excess capital. That's like a yacht. It's a luxury item. Do you follow me on this, Eric? Otherwise, I can just let you guys, go at it. But I would say do you follow me on this?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, having someone that is steeped in finances like a Dr. Anderson, but anyone who has amassed, I was talking to a guy who claimed to be some sort of a financial guy the other night on a show that Michael was on, and he said that only 0.1% of people who identify themselves as black Americans have that 1 year's salary saved. So you can't get a poor group representing a rich culture. That's just not going to happen. So, and I think Beasley said it, or someone mentioned that, the community, a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. And if you have all these broke people, you just don't have the resources to purchase a team. And those are way that you were talking about. In other words, incidentals.
Mm-hmm.
That come up.
Right.
A person has to have a lot more money than the actual cost of the team to sustain the team during lean times. But at any rate, if that has stimulated or sparked any ideas, and Eric, I encourage you to actually review Dr. Anderson's book on your show. You're talking about finance, but no one is talking about it intelligently. So, there you have it.
Okay. Some very good points, and that's what I was trying to make. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I've been attacked by multiple people who assume stuff. Let's stay on the topic. But how can we talk about group economics when, Mr. Talk, I've heard you say on your show, and Mr. Solution, you don't identify yourself as black? How can we do group economics when you have to identify yourself within that group, Mr. Solution?
Stupid.
You keep on talking about doctors and doctors. No, you're stupid.
No. That point is stupid, if you don't mind, Eric.
How?
You keep bringing up a stupid point.
You
like brain damage, Michael. Stop referencing that
very
point.
Anybody can help you with
your situation.
You said that someone has to identify as a group, right?
No, you identify with a person's situation.
Power.
don't understand what you're talking about. Why don't you mute yourself and just listen?
What person's situation?
Mute yourself and just listen. And I ask you that respectfully.
No, you keep on bringing Dr. Anderson's book about powernomics. It's basically on black group economics.
Anybody can use those principles, Michael, and they do. You're ignorant of the basic point. Mute yourself and listen.
I'm not saying that. Hold on. I agree. But in that book, each individual is going to have to identify him or herself as a group or as something to be a part of the group. So what I'm saying
is... No, you don't.
Hold on for a minute, Michael.
You are if you don't identify yourself.
Hold on for a minute, Michael. Now, I got a question here, and I hear what everyone is saying, but I got a question. Does money identify itself as any type of group?
Yes, when he's talking about group economics, he's
it
saying
does?
He's telling you every day.
Michael, listen to the question.
These people think I'm crazy. Yo,
Michael, listen to the question. Does money identify itself as any type of group? Does it?
In order to make money, you're going to be a part of a group. So, yes,
Michael,
it circulates.
Okay.
This has to be.
All right.
It does.
That's not the question.
No, but I'm saying you can't separate money from a group, bro. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm in business. You don't know shit about me on this phone. I'm laughing
at you. Let me answer Eric's question. Eric, your question is answered thus. Money represents power. Power represents the ability to overcome opposition. Close
mm-hmm.
quote.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Beasley, are you there? I guess
there's a lot of lips in the soup. I don't mind listening.
Well, I want you to answer the question, that question also.
Excuse me, I'm sorry?
So I want you to answer the question.
He answered it adequately. That seemed like a nice, concise, simple answer. It's
okay.
You have to agree with it.
Okay. I'm just making the answer. Okay. Well, thank you.
No.
And you know what, Mr. Solution, I agree with that. I'm just wondering because, you know, Michael is stuck on you have to identify with this and you don't have to identify. I'm just wondering, did money, you know,
actually identify as anything? Listen, you know what, if my son didn't listen to y'all, he'll laugh at this shit. Listen, how can you say I want you to have a book that talks about group economics and then you saying that we don't have to identify as a group or the individual. And for me to be a part of a group, I guarantee you before I was in that group, I had to identify myself. I had to have some association with that group. That is a fact. And when you talk about money, it is a group. When I have a business, if all of us on this phone get this business together, we're going to be as a group. We may have a board, everything, chairs, a board of directors, what have you, and I guarantee you we're going to make some money as together. Money always have groups involved, factually.
Well, look here. There were whites and people of other ethnicities that identified with Martin Luther King. It didn't make them him. They just identified with the movement. So the problem with Michael, and I'm going to tell you this very clearly, I would never, ever even get close to doing business with anyone like Michael.
And
Michael
I never
is
would
a
do
drunk
with
man.
No,
Michael
said
is
greed
drunk.
Is in business. I would never do with you. You already told me as a business partner you're going to be greedy, factually. I would never do business with you, bro.
This is the thing. Michael, I love you dearly, but you are
listen
a buffoon.
To me.
Michael,
listen
wait
to
a
me.
Minute. You're the court jester.
When he says that, that's when you know the death blows are coming.
Define a black business to me, Mr. Solution. Define a black business to me, Mr. Solution. And you read Powernomics. Define black business to me. What
I'm
is
not defining anything. Go read the book.
No, I do. No, I do. Sir,
you read
I do
the book?
Know what
have
it
you
is.
Read Powernomics?
I don't have to read the book. I don't have to read the book.
There you go.
Tell
okay.
me. No, because
see,
listen,
this is the thing. I would spend
that's
a million time just
from
having
his mind.
Okay, Michael,
you know,
allow me to finish your sentence.
Define a black business for me. You
allow
no,
me
no,
to finish
man,
a sentence.
Define a black business for me. Define.
I'm not defining anything for you. You're an idiot.
Why are we arguing?
he's talking about group
economics. Because Michael, because of Michael.
And we're talking about Dr. Claude Anderson every damn day he comes on here, so I'm asking him a question. Beasley, that's why I'm asking him.
Well, a business defines itself.
I mean, that's a pretty simple answer to that, though. A black business is I guess you can call it a business that's the majority of the ownership is black. Doesn't even have to be completely black owned, but I would say the majority of the ownership is black.
Mm.
I mean,
that's a lie. No, it's not.
How is it a lie?
It is. Okay. Listen, I can have a black business, but if I do not take my profits and some of that profits of that business and make sure that I put that money back in that community, meaning from charity, from the schools and organizations, for political, I make sure that my profits is geared toward black improvement, not black superiority, not black supremacy, but black improvement. Remember, other groups, Caucasian conservatives, says the black quote-unquote community, which is a group, needs to get themselves together. So a black business, you listen, what is Sterling says? You can have a lot of rich black people, but if they don't donate and give back to the black community, it can be black owned all you want to. But what you do with your money defines what is a black business, because it circulates factually. Now I'm done.
Well, good, because I got a question to ask since you are done. Mike, wow.
God.
Wow. But I like Michael.
Don't get me wrong. I think Michael brings up – well, go ahead, please.
Okay. Here's a question, and this relates to something that was said on Friday's show. Mr. Cleveland, when he was on, he said African Americans are on the lower tier, which means, you know, everybody has some pastors. And I got to thinking over this weekend, and we've often said that African Americans have never required anything of the government or anybody else like that. But here's my question. Can we say part of the problem is we haven't required anything or demanded anything from ourselves? Is that part of the economic problems that we are having? Because we haven't, I mean, we go every day step by step, but when have we actually demanded or acquired something from us to get started and make ourselves better financially instead of waiting for everybody else to give us a handout?
That's part of it. It's not all of it, but that's definitely part of it.
You say that's a big part of it?
The avenues are Yeah, I'd say it's a big part of it. But
okay. The
avenues are there for you to improve yourself or to make something of yourself. People have done it before. My parents' generation did it. All of their friends were college educated and good at what they did. Whether they worked as college professors or engineers, mathematicians, real estate professionals, they had a group of doctors, lawyers. A lot of their friends were in those fields, and those guys would probably be, a lot of them are dead and dying, but they would all be, you know, 75 plus now, more of them in their 80s.
Okay.
They're dropping off, but that was the whole, and I know that they had more to get through, more problems, more difficulties. When I look at, what year was he born? 1928. So he's 86, 85. He's a little older than most of his friends. But all of those guys did real well for themselves. And they had to go through their families probably had less resources when they were coming up, and all of those and most of those guys, they applied themselves and made something of themselves during more difficult times. When I would talk about my problems when I was in my late teens and had left high school and was going to school and working, trying to find myself, where I wasn't working, I was going to school, they just said, "You need a job."
Why do you need a job?
A lot of it. I would can talk about whatever my thoughts on the world. He said, "You just sound like you need a job." And they were right. All I'm saying is this, that there was a generation that did real well, and they didn't have it easy, and they made something of themselves in far more difficult times as far as being a black person in America than the way it is now.
Okay. All right. That's the truth. Okay. Michael, you want to take a stab at it? Okay, I guess he's going to take his breather. All right, Mr. Solution, any comments?
Yeah, well, look, I think I'm an action man. I believe in doing it. Talking about it is fine. That's just the prelude. That's the game plan. Now get out there and execute. And so I would say bring Dr. Anderson's book, bring Dr. Anderson's person. Even if we don't get him, if you don't get him, study his book. There are great ideas in books. I've gotten all of my ideas out of books because you get the best of who a person is, generally, because that person has done research. And, so you just get a wide swath. You get a broad swath. And if only one tenth of 1% of people who identify themselves as black or are financially solvent, that's a problem. A chain is no stronger than its weakest link. And the most viable way that you start to acquire money is to feed yourself. Get connected with your universities. All the plans are already there. You know, sue the U.S. and the U.N. for, the damage that slavery has done. There's nothing wrong with that because what you're doing is saying there were injustice. It's not against white people. The jackasses who went out there and violated people's rights were criminals. The real person that denied you your rights was the government. Racism cannot be practiced without the participation of the government. The government has to aid and abet the perpetrators, you see? So it's the government that's the racist, not the jackasses who are basically barnyard criminals. So, but, you've got to get together and improve your finances because a lot of your anger stems from your ass being broke. That's a lot of stress on a person when you're broke. Yeah, because you owe people. When you owe people, people are going to be nipping at your ass, letting you know that you owe them.
Just when you're not achieving. Just when you're not achieving. Just when you can't do the things that other people are doing or that you see doing. Yeah, people get frustrated.
I appreciate you because a lot of times I share ideas with you and you, of course, share them. But you need to keep doing it. You know, in kinesthetic training, didactic training, it's pointed out that a person needs to hear something many, many times before they get it. And that's a person who wants to understand it. Michael really doesn't want to understand.
Right.
Michael eschews knowledge. Michael wants to stand up on the rock as the head cock, and he just doesn't have the mental muscle. He's a nice guy. Hello?
Nothing. I'm trying not to laugh. Let me put myself
on
mute.
It's true. I like Michael. I enjoy him. He brings a certain element to the conversation. But Michael is not a guy you want to follow for guidance. He doesn't read. He's antithetical to growth and progress. Now, once he gets out there in the world and he tries to enact a business or something, he'll either follow the process or his ass will be kicked to the side. And so all I'm saying is crack open Dr. Anderson's book and start exploring those concepts. For example, I heard a group of people talking about gays. Gays, especially the white male section, white male slash female, they're the most powerful group in America because they're not just asking for rights as a person. They're asking for special rights. But they're using the platform that blacks and American Indians legitimately used. And I know we live in a pluralistic society. I understand that. And I'm willing to live and let live. There's no doubt about that. And I thought Beasley would appropriately introduce the Serenity Prayer because and a prayer was definitely what was needed in most of these so-called black conversations. Because gays don't need your help. Look at where they are winning. Where are gays winning? In court. That's where they're winning, in court. Listen to the decisions. Supreme Court, they're going state by state. And they are approaching the system through the law, the most powerful entity in any civilized society. So they don't need your support one way or the other. You don't matter. They have the money. Gay males, gay white males, are some of the most they have the highest net income of any group in America. Is that correct, Beasley? I know you're a fact checker.
No, come on. It's well known that gay folks, I'm outside of San Francisco. The gay folks, generally speaking, are on the high scale socioeconomically. I mean, if they're in San Francisco, which is probably the second most expensive city to live in the United States next to New York City, and yes. That's well known.
All right.
And you know what? And gay people, particularly gay Jewish males, white males, they have a super stronghold on Hollywood, from the heads of studios to agents to the guys that are behind the scenes making the deals happen and keeping it flowing. They have a real powerful. I mean, you've got David Geffen. There's so many of them that you could name that are powerful moguls. And they probably have always been there like that, but now they're out. The majority of them are out. Yeah, it's a strong lobby. They're gonna turn all of you guys gay.
Not. But hold on, let me bring that's not gonna happen. But let me bring Maze and Mr. Lowe into the house. All right. Good afternoon, Maze and Mr. Lowe. How y'all doing today?
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Free Willy Monday? Can you say what you want to say?
Yes, Maze.
Or do you have to be careful with what you say?
Well, you need to be careful if you're going to use some bad languages. Yes,
oh,
you do.
I don't use bad language.
Ahead and say. Okay.
I'm quite sure everybody on your show know how to read. I hope they do. And I'm quite sure everybody on your show have some money. Might not be rich, but they have money. And they got good sense. And some people take action with the money that they have, and some just use Claude Anderson for a scapegoat and never tell nobody nothing that's in Claude Anderson's book.
Okay.
Finish for the moment.
Uh-huh.
Well,
all right.
Let me answer that. Sure, I can tell you things.
You don't
ask
Claude Anderson until I get to speak, please.
Wait, hold on for a minute, Lo. Hold
I didn't
on,
even get to say hi.
Okay, say hi, Lo. Say hi.
Hello.
Okay, good. Now, hold on, because let Mr. Solution respond to what Maze said. Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
No, I think Maze brought up a good point, but she said she could read and that, by extension, other people should read, so she should pick up the book and read it. But I'll give you a couple of ideas out of Dr. Anderson's book. He talks about vertical business integration, owning a business from its origin to the distribution point. He is engaged in the fish industry, and he says that, see, every ethnic group has particular commodities that their culture centers around. If you look at the Indians, it's spices. I'm talking about the Indians from India. They have a lot of spices and rice. I was getting physical therapy from an Indian, and we had a great conversation. He took me to an Indian restaurant, and I noticed that they imported all of their food from India. So they were practicing group economics. They have a vertically structured or vertically integrated system. And so that's what every group, just like you walk, everybody walks the same way, they cry the same way, they laugh the same way. There are certain things that are very, very common to the human species. Everybody virtually practices business the same way. They mark their territory. That's another principle that Dr. Anderson talks about. He talks about marking your territory. If you go in particular ethnic groups, venue, you will see them using their language, and they're saying it's okay to visit, but you got to get out of here at a certain time. And he also talks about a code of conduct. You must have a code of conduct, an ethical way of dealing with each other, not stealing, not cheating each other. And so those are a few of the principles that he talks about. But he really focuses on business. He talks about you have to have businesses to supply your particular needs and interests. Now, I would like to ask you, because I don't want to be contentious with anybody unnecessarily, you can ask the person, were these valuable points that could be recognized from Dr. Anderson's book?
Hello.
Hello.
Did
you get anything from that? You said
no, I didn't, because I have his book. We got different things out of the book. That's not what Claude Anderson is about. So I won't.
Okay. Well, what is he
waiting.
About? Give me some
Wait
points that
speaking.
You feel he's
Wait
about.
Wait till I finish speaking.
Okay.
I don't try to take up everybody's time.
Go ahead, Lo.
What exactly was the conversation about before Claude Anderson got brought in so broad and boldly? What was it about?
Nobody reads, nobody have money, and everybody don't hear.
And which black multimillionaire had the capability to buy the Clippers?
Okay, hold on. Okay, wait a minute. Here was the question that brought this comments. I said basically it's part of the problem that we can't do anything because we don't require anything of each other. That was the last thing I asked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also heard that the highest entity, quote unquote, in any civilized society was a government or the homosexuals or something like that, homosexual men. I disagree wholeheartedly with that.
That's not what he said. He said that the law was like the highest.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
The highest bar.
There you go.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, any case scenario, I disagree with that because this country that everybody loves so much and everybody has so much faith in is Babylon. You have nothing but confusion here. I don't care if anybody likes what I'm saying or not. It's the truth. We're arguing about men that are homosexuals having a lot of money and spreading their power around every which kind of way they want to and being able to have the audacity to say, hey, what you going to do about it? We can go to court now with this. And nobody can do anything about it. That's confusion. This whole land is nothing but confusion from the people that's on the bottom of the society that were their God-given right is to be on the top of the world, but they're on the bottom of the society. And everybody, you talk about the Indians, the Africans, whoever, all those people have conspired against you to keep you there. I don't care. Go get your degrees. You can even start a business. It's going to take you hell and high water to get your business started. First and foremost, I talked to several people that have went to try and get businesses started, and there's so much red tape for them just because of how they look and what their last name is or what their name is, period. And you get some son of a gun come in this country, don't have anything except his name and can get a business with no problem. So get your education and do all these other things, and you still wonder why you'll be on the bottom of society. One or two people get to slip through because we have to have Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson at bay to say, hey, look at so-and-so. He's here. Everybody can do it. That's a damn lie. Not everybody can do it. They're not going to be 100 more Beyoncés to come in the next 5 years because they got to promote her and have everybody else aspire to be exactly like her. And she's somebody else's idea in the first place. So, hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you go ahead and finish. I just want to ask you.
Do you think there's more
red tape? You're saying that there's more red tape and more bureaucracy to go through when you're black?
Absolutely. You should be saying the same thing. You're 50 some years old. You know this. You know
I'm going to tell you what my thoughts on that. Maybe in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any problem. You know, going through the paperwork to start a business and get a bank and get a business account and to conduct business. I don't have too many issues with that. And I conduct business right. I don't have too many problems where I feel like it's necessarily harder because I'm black with getting everything set up. Now, I don't know what type of businesses that you're talking about, but I would bet overall things are going to be harder for black people in Louisiana than they're going to be here in California, just generally speaking. And there's racism everywhere. It just seems
to be.
Go ahead.
I know people from California to New York, and it's always the exact same conversation. You have people working at Walmart that have master's degrees, and they won't be able to get the job that they went to school for. Oh, like I said before, one or two, they'll slip them through the cracks to keep Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton out of the cameras. But as a whole, no. No. You'll be on the bottom of society from the day you're born to the day you die.
Okay.
In this society anyway.
Man.
Well, Lo, what you're talking about is in Claude Anderson's book. It's Black Labor, Search for Power, Economic Justice, White Wealth. That is what Claude Anderson's book is called. And he discussed the very same thing that you're talking about, Lo, in his book.
Mm-hmm.
He even went from the churches to the neighborhoods and to the businesses and all of the different things to what's wrong.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Like I said, man, we're not supposed to ask these people for anything. But being that we have their mind states, we're successful because we have a Mercedes and because we can live amongst the white folk. We're successful. If my neighbor, meaning my black brother or sister, so-called, or my Native American brother or sister, or Latin brother or sister, are not successful, then I'm not successful. My people are not successful. You have a white boy, 16-year-old, walking with his pants off his butt, and they'll say, he's just trying to find who he is.
But
Same thing, young black boy, he's a thug, he's a hoodlum.
But how many people order things, try to purchase from Claude Anderson? Since we always have a discussion on him. Anybody try to get in contact with him and purchase something?
No.
I haven't.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
I haven't.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, well, I have my own ideas pertaining to life, and mind are more so biblically based more now than ever, and I'm not so much concerned on personal gain and wealth and status because, I was telling the guy earlier, all of this stuff.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about, though.
Well, I'm bringing out
it's
the whole thing, brother. I'm bringing out the
whole
thing.
Hold on, don't need Dr. Anderson. We have his book.
Saying.
Hold on for a minute, Lo. Hold on. Because I got to go back to Maze for a moment. Maze, have you tried to contact him and ask him for any books or anything?
I have his book.
Okay.
And talked to him before, too.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah. He's
all
on
right.
Some talk show. And he was discussing how you can order different things. Like, he doesn't only have a farm for fish. He has a whole lot of different stuff.
Okay, well, I'm share some of the stuff. Share some of the information
about,
that, you, that you know about.
His name, they should be doing business with him. Peon can do business with him.
Yeah, Maze, if you can hear you promised to share some of Dr. Anderson's.
I just shared it.
Information.
There you go. There you go.
I just shared
you shared some specifics? What did you say?
Yes,
I didn't
you
hear
you.
You
read his book and all you got out of it was whatever you
No,
read.
That's not all I got out of it, but I was asking you to share what you know. I shared about 3 points.
You
shared some points.
Power and economics and justice, and we don't have power, economics, or justice. So what are you talking about?
So how do you go
that's
about getting that? Just saying you don't have it is axiomatic. How does one go about getting it?
You tell us.
Well, he talks about agreeing on...
No,
well,
from
okay.
your perspective, from your perspective. You
that's
tell us.
If you and Maze are going to work as a tag team, well, number one, some people have to want to listen. And when someone talks about money, they say, this is the way to make it. And then someone comes in and says, like yourself, Lo, well, I'm not that interested in money. I'm interested in other things.
I would go buy something from Solution so I can tell.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I'm talking to Lo now.
Mr. Talk Pan for this show, when he tell me to stop.
Just said that
you
didn't interrupt people or
I didn't say I was finished. You said when you finish, that's when you stop talking. I'm not
but
trying to hog up this
yapping.
Show.
You
I
keep jumping
like
in here and there
I'm
making comments that are unintelligible.
No,
I really can't understand about two-thirds of what you say.
All right, hold on. All right. Oh, boy, y'all making my ears hurt. All right. So let's go back to the piece. Okay. All right. Now,
yeah, I can't understand most of what she says, Eric. She speaks too rapidly.
Okay. I understand she does get going sometimes, but she has some good points. But go ahead and finish responding to Lo, and then I'll open her mic back up so she can say what she needs to say.
Well, I just said to Lo, look, if we're going to talk about money and the acquisition of money, let's talk about that. Let's not deflect by saying, well, I'm not that interested in money, because that's the conversation in the next room. The conversation in this room, look, let me give you another point of Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson says all the problems that people who identify themselves as black Americans experience are the result of socioeconomic deprivation. Socioeconomic deprivation. All of their problems, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's, dropping out of school, lack of business startup.
Definitely incarceration rates.
Right, all of that is socioeconomic.
If you had access to better counsel, if you were able to make bail, if you were able to, right, that's true.
Absolutely, and if you have
money
in America, a rich person has never been convicted and executed for murder, not in the whole of American history. Because if you have money, you can manipulate the legal system. Now, I'm not talking about manipulating the legal system for nefarious purposes. I'm talking about manipulating it for the purpose of maintaining justice. And so my position is not to just come on and be combative, but to give real examples. And the three examples that I've given you, Eric, and if you want to repeat them, I mean, you're the show host, I would like to hear you repeat those three criteria for basic success in America, if you recall them.
I'm sorry. What was the question again?
I'm
sorry. What was the question?
No, I just said I would like for you to repeat the three basic criteria for success in America. I gave them to you.
Oh,
well,
okay. A year's salary, reserve, make sure all your bills are paid currently.
Okay, say that clearly, Eric. You broke up.
Okay. First thing is make sure you have a year's salary in reserve. The second thing was make sure all your bills are currently paid. And the last one is make sure you had a you used the bathroom within the last 12 hours, so you're not toxic.
I have a question on that. Could we say that Oprah Winfrey exceeds all of those expectations?
But Oprah Winfrey is just one person. You're talking about getting a team of people who meet those criteria.
Yes, or no,
see,
brother,
remember
I,
this. The ocean gives out more gas than a boiling cup of hot water.
Yes, she exceeds those expectations.
Can I use an expectation of how you should live, I mean how you should balance your money and how you should spend it? Don't owe nobody on a credit card, first of all. Second of all, you can save 6 months of rent on your mortgage. And the other part ain't nothing but a bunch of whatever you want to call it, that third.
Well, having had a bowel movement is an expression of health.
Everybody rich, because Clive Anderson, for everything that he has, he doesn't even speak like that, even tell you no crazy stuff like that.
What crazy stuff? Well, what's crazy?
Rich people don't talk about their wealth, is what I'm saying.
Well, the reason I ask is because that makes no sense. Oprah, with all her wealth, went overseas and she was brought back down to being nothing, nobody, because she wanted to go in the store and buy something. So if that's considered to be success, then, hey, like I said, I don't worry. I mean, it's foolish. I mean, you're so charged up about getting money, getting status.
And when you have all these things, obviously discriminated against on, and someone misjudged her because of her race. But that one instance doesn't probably neglect from the pleasure and the comfort and the luxury of her life.
How many more times does that happen? How many more people has that happened to? I mean, you tell
a whole lot of them.
Even on a low scale of someone that has.
I mean, I agree.
Lo, may I ask you a question, Lo?
I've heard of black people that were professionals getting pulled over by the LAPD and made to lay on the damn ground in their suits.
They match the description of someone.
I've heard of that. And these dudes were square as a box of cornflakes. These were Dudley Do-Right good citizens. So that happens. Racism exists. Profiling exists. That's the way of the world. Because I think that happened to Oprah overseas. I think she was in Paris.
Beasley, I think you said it correctly initially. Usually, what unsuccessful people focus on are de minimis points. They don't focus on the points that really empower them. Now, if you all want to, for example, Mays just said that rich people don't talk about their money. That's absurd. What do we know about Bill Gates? What do we always hear about Bill Gates, Warren Buffett?
Would you be quiet a minute and let me talk about Bill Gates?
We don't hear Clive Anderson walking around talking about how much money he has.
How do you know you have more money than me, Mr. Solution?
Fools stay where they are. They're fools.
Michael, how do you know? You want to know something?
Listen,
I've been around.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question, though. And I want your opinion. For a person making $30,000 a year, how long would you think that person, a single person, has an apartment, car, something, making $30,000, how long do you think it would take that person to save up $30,000 in the bank?
30 years, because a person making $30,000 a year with those expenses is barely getting by.
Thank you for answering for me. They're probably running a deficit.
They're probably running a deficit every month.
If you're asking me, it can be done. The thing is, how frugal are you willing to be? I mean, if you have to go out and get the new pair of Michael Jordans or whatever your flavor is, and get the new this and that every time something comes out, new cell phone, get the most expensive packages on everything that you get as far as phones and data plans and all of this stuff, then it'll take them forever. If you have someone that's willing to say, hey, you know what, I don't need that, or, you know, that's not a necessity, then it's an obtainable goal, and it shouldn't take them a lifetime to achieve that goal. I mean, I can be honest. My daddy told me a long time ago, and it was so true. To hell with Claude Anderson. My daddy gave me all the information I need to survive as a man.
Oh,
so,
he's going around.
I was told a long time ago, a man can make $35 an hour, and a man can make 10. If the guy that makes 35 lives foolishly, the guy that makes $10 an hour will live better than he does. And I believe
right,
that.
But we were trying to talk about saving to your equal, to your salary, what's equal to your salary. But hold on, I want to say that. But realistically, and we had this subject, I spoke this subject with Ms. Solution a couple of days ago, and we had a mathematician, and he was black, he makes six figures, and he was saying mathematically, this system is not set up for someone making $30,000 to $40,000 a year actually, while they're working and at that salary, the course of their years, save up that much. The system is not set up that way, factually.
So you accept that explanation of defeat?
BZ, one more thing. I'm quiet. I'm looking at living right now, a single man making $30,000 a year, wearing penny loafers. He have his little car, not the expensive car, have his own apartment just by himself. It would take him a lot by just saving
$30,000. I don't believe
it's going to take him a lot. It is. Okay, whatever. All right.
Let me ask this question.
It's going to take a while to save $30,000. The system is not set up like that, bro.
Michael?
He's going to have to
I'm
just saying, he's going to get his first $5,000, maybe invest that $5,000 into something or try to make a start.
I tried to be nice. He just don't want to be quiet. Anyway, here's my question. All right. One time. All right. Here's the question. You know, Pianki said something the other day on the show that I found very interesting. And here is what I'm saying. I'm going to ask the question. Pianki said there was nothing wrong with living on the plantation as long as it pays good. So, can we say that may be part of the problem with people having that train of thought right there? That as
absolutely.
As long as they're paying good, you know, there's nothing wrong with what I'm getting paid.
Absolutely, man. It's the exact same thing as I saw somebody posted a picture of a horse that was tied to, like, one of those little plastic chairs, and the horse just stood there. And that's all he's trying to stand there, so he's not going to move. And, of course, hey, as long as boss paying me good, I'd be good on the plantation. Of course. Why do you think so many people wanted to go back and rebel when they were fleeing Egypt? The people that were doing well wanted to leave the wilderness and go back to Egypt.
What are you guys saying? I'm having a slave man. I'm being realistic. No, I want to say this. Being realistically, someone making $30,000 a year, I'm talking about time, right? I'm in math, too. It's going to take a time. What I'm saying is, maybe that guy, once he gets his $5,000, take that $5,000 and maybe he can invest small. But to say to wait till he makes $30,000 a year, do something, no. It's going to be a long time.
Okay, Michael, let me answer. I'm going to answer this.
It has to come in phases. Because the way Michael had that equation set up to fail. Man, you crazy as shit. You're not being realistic, bro. That's why your shit is stagnated, and it's not going to go nowhere if you're talking about the year's salary. We're talking about the masses
Michael,
of people. Who you talking
really,
to?
Michael?
You're just not talking about your group.
Michael.
I'm letting you know, a person making $30,000, listen, a sergeant, take a sergeant just coming in. How long do you think that sergeant with the military, you know, him living and guys, to save $30,000?
Okay, you have all the examples of failure. Eric, I would like to answer that. Eric, I would like to answer that if you will allow it.
If it's short.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Okay, and notice how Mays keeps flipping in and out of the conversation.
Anderson,
go ahead. We don't have
all
okay, the point is this. The way Michael structured the scenario is designed to fail. No one limits this person. This person can get more education. They can affiliate and or associate with someone who is more successful. There are a myriad of methods that this person could utilize to improve their condition. But if they just stay in the same spot, I agree with Michael. Not only are they not going to go forward, they're going to go backwards. How about discussing inflation and how that impacts a person's wealth? And wait, see, there are ways to get around virtually every obstacle. Do you want to know them, or do you take so much pride in your failure mentality that you won't even listen to viable solutions of progress?
Why do you have to be a failure just to have more money right now? Hold up, Michael.
I have one thing to say. I got Roth's account and RRA accounts, but it's not liquidated if you're talking about that. Of course I got more money than I make here. Well, I'm just being honest.
I can't liquidate it. The guy wasn't talking about you specifically, Michael. Hold on.
Let's bring a new voice into this because y'all are going back and forth. So let me bring Renee in, and we can continue on. Go. Hello, Renee. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, Auntie May. Yeah, I just want to say something really quick about whatever happened. You know, we can get back to whatever. Because I wanted to say, Lo, I agree with you 180%. But anyway, about the show Friday, personally, I'm just a pretty direct person. I don't feel I need to apologize. I was making a joke, and he said it first. I did not just pull it out the thin blue air and make it up. And I was just joking back with him. But I would have apologized, but when we were talking separately, he called me a witch with a B, okay? And he said at least three times, Beasley did. And he told me, shut up, witch, shut up, witch, shut up, witch. That's what he was saying to me. And, I just don't deal with things like that. I was kidding with him. And that's, like I said, that's what it was. He put it out there. So, anyway, I'm not going to apologize. I don't expect him to, and I really wouldn't even accept it because he called me what he feels I am, and he's made it clear he doesn't, you know, care for me or what I have to say, and that's fine. I'm not here for him, and, you know, people don't like some of my opinions, but, hey, it is what it is, and, excuse me, I can see that people don't like certain things because they don't really want to hear the real side of it, so it is what it is. I'm not apologizing. I'm not going to call anyone out their name because I don't do that. And it's just going to be what it's going to be.
Hey, Renee, we're all adults here. And, you know, whatever goes on in the green room, nobody can come out and say, hey, he called me. We weren't there. We didn't hear it. So,
well, he did.
If it happened,
well, he did.
Okay, if it happened in the green room, leave it in the green
room. No, if it happened to me,
I've been in that plenty of times.
Yeah, Mr. Beasley, I'm sure you didn't. He's not going to apologize either. So, you know, just call it the truth and walk away. Call it the truth and walk away. Leave it alone.
They put me in the green room with one person. I bet y'all got something to say.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, but the thing about it is, you know, I mentioned it because it happened to me, and I felt that was completely out of line. But the reality of it is, it showed me that what I thought was true. That's how it is. It's a confirmation. So I'm good. I don't have any issues toward him. And, you know, like I said, that's it.
Well, okay, didn't we go to the green room before?
Yeah, of course. For you to carry that from Friday to today.
Okay,
let's be clear. I didn't carry it. This was on the beginning of the show.
Renee,
I was responding.
Renee, listen. Just listen for 1 second. If it wasn't on your mind, you wouldn't brought it back up just now.
All right,
hold up.
Enough. All right, Renee has said what she's going to say. Beasley said what he's going to say early in the show, and I said what I said about it. It's over with. Move on, okay?
Right.
Let's respect everybody's opinion, and I cleared it up, and I said what I had to say, and Renee just finished saying what she had to say. Beasley said what he had to say earlier. Enough. Let's get back to what we were talking about, okay?
Okay.
And thank you, Renee, for coming in and, you know, clearing your side of it up also. Okay, now,
are we finished?
Let's continue on. Okay.
I was just going to throw in there for Michael, you know, whatever goals you set for yourself, those are your personal goals.
Yes.
And if you're comfortable living in a cardboard box and you're happy with that, then, hey, that's your mansion. The hell with what someone else thinks and the hell how
we're who are you talking to, Lil?
He's explaining something to you, Mike.
Oh, hold on. Who you talking to? Who you referring to? You don't know how we're living. You would never find out, though. I would
do
never
I
tell y'all
that.
Out of my business.
Oh, wow. Do
listen,
I
how can you refer
to
what I said
to.
That I did? No, listen, how can you take what I said and say, come to the conclusion that I'm saying people to be satisfied and live in a cardboard box? I'm saying be realistic. And
I'm
I never say
realistic.
You don't progress. What I'm saying is he's using that as a formula. Listen, you can do what you want. Having said that, you can do what you want. Everyone is not a business owner. Everyone is not a risk taker. You have to fit in where you get. Fit in where you get in where you
get
fit in,
where
in,
you
so to speak. Exactly.
Right.
Get in where you fit in, so to speak.
And
live your life happy. Because guess what? Listen, right now, someone has less money than, you know, some people, and they live in their life happy.
That's
some people got a lot of money, lonely as shit.
Right.
Like
exactly. Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I was just saying, my brother, if I can expound now without being interrupted and cut off, I'm just saying, hey, not everything that you learn is going to come from somebody else's ideas. As a matter of fact, if you go back and check the wealth of a lot of these affluent families that live in this country and other countries, you'll find that the money was stolen or they killed people for it, or they embezzled money at one time or another. You'll find some things that those people will not be proud of. Case in point,
This behind every fortune is a crime.
Absolutely. One lady said that she was taught about the hard-working men of her family and how they worked so hard and all of this. And she said she did just a little bit of research from her granddad to her great-granddad. Come to find out, I think it's in the documentary on YouTube called Slavery by Another Name. When she found out actually how they got their wealth, they had a scam set up with the constable and the sheriff and the judge. If there was a black man walking along the train tracks, they would arrest him, and he would have to work in the mills or whatever her family's fortune came from. And there was no time this man was allowed to just walk away from it. He had not committed any crime at all. My point is this. She said, I had to stay in the house for 2 days after I found out how terrible my family was. She didn't get none of that money back, and she's not going to. So all in all, when you take some people's information and use it as being the gospel, and that's your sole purpose for living and say, hey, I want to be like those people, or they really have it together. In essence, they don't have it together because it was ill-gotten gains in the first place. So, hey,
let me just say, if I may, had you finished, Law?
Go ahead, man.
Let me just say, I'm sitting back as a spectator in the stands, and I'm looking at a losing team in terms of conversation. Now, some people may go out and do just the opposite of what they're sharing here. But in terms of when you want to talk about under the rubric of synectics, which is critical problem stating and problem solving, and you can borrow from every branch of science and socio-behavior, you use these known examples to resolve your problem. Now, all the problems that you guys mention are economic in essence. If you're not going to solve your economic issue, admit defeat and just live with it.
Well,
let me ask you something. Are you debt-free, Mr. Solution? Are you debt-free?
No.
Are you debt-free, Mr. Solution?
Yes.
Because are you?
You're a damn liar.
Okay, so you. So you have no debts. I thought you said you was paying student loans.
The fool in the background being a detractor.
No, I
you
thought you
asked
said
me
the other
question.
Night. That you were still paying student loans. I thought you said the other night you was paying student loans.
I paid. Okay, watch this. English. Paid is past tense.
I didn't hear that.
Oh,
okay.
Past, present, future. You never hear anything. That's the reason I told you to mute yourself.
Okay, I'm corrected. But see, there's a lot of people.
But don't mute yourself. Keep talking because you're a great source of entertainment.
There are a lot of people who have savings like me and still have bills that I have to pay.
Where do you live,
I still have
bills. Where do you live?
Okay, work to pay them off. Be smart enough to find out how to pay them off.
Right, but I'm asking a question now. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that's making $40,000 a year that's still paying bills, and it's going to take them a long time to have that liquidated $40,000 to go ahead and do what you say we're going to do. I'm talking about liquidation. They may have it in Roth accounts and in retirement accounts, but liquidation, that's what you're talking about, Mr. Solution.
What account?
Everybody on here is on what they have is their own business, and nobody else is but people that have what they got.
Okay, but you don't understand either. It would be good if you would just be quiet. Let your silence be your intelligence.
So that's why I said before,
you finish. Can I speak now? That's how you
that
do it. Come on, somebody else do it.
$40,000 a year. If they get $5,000,
put me in the green room with him. Please, just put me in the green room with him.
Talk to you. You don't speak English. Take English as a second language.
Put me in the green room with him.
Excuse me.
I'm just asking. Where do you live, man?
He don't know. He's going to be
live?
In the Christian club with Claude Anderson.
I'm serious, I'm asking for a purpose. Where do you live, man?
Solutions. He lives in L.A. like you do.
Okay. All right.
Okay. He lives in L.A. like you do.
I'm asking questions. Okay. He lives in L.A. All right, good. Cool.
Like you do.
You're only responsible for yourself, right? You don't have a spouse or children or
exactly.
Or anything. I'm asking questions because, hey, if I can take all of my eggs and throw them in my little basket, I'm great. But if I want to be a man and say, hey, you know what, I want to be married, and I don't want to put so many specifications on somebody that I can't find anybody or nobody will allow themselves to be in the same room with me for 10 minutes, then, hey, that's what happens, man.
But see, that's stupid. Anybody can be with somebody. I mean, you have dope dealers and whores and
prostitutes.
You just
said your life is stupid.
You still got that word in the solution.
Wait a minute. See, this is the problem when people have no answers. They go to personal.
You just said that. You still got that word.
You attack him every day.
Look, admit defeat. The world has kicked your ass, and you're defeated. Admit it.
I tell you what we can do.
Right,
we can both create Facebook accounts, and we can post our possessions on Mr. Talk's page. I'll do it. I ain't got no problem. I live in a beautiful
there
neighborhood.
There we go.
Hey, Mr.
And I got a beautiful wife and nice
car.
So
we don't want to
let's see. Brother?
Mr. Top.
I'm happy.
Yes, Renee.
Top. I'm happy.
Yes, Renee.
Eric, I wish you would come in. That makes no sense whatsoever, and you see why.
All right, hold on.
Thank you.
Hold on. All right, go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, I was going to tell you the name of that book.
Okay.
The name of the book is called After the Ball, and it's written by Marshall Kirk.
Okay, Marshall Kirk.
Yeah, but what Lowe was saying earlier, he's so right. When he was talking about Beyonce's and there's only going to be one, you know what I mean? There's only always, my grandma would say, they're always going to let a few through just to make it look good. But I think that's a big problem with our community is we have bought into that whole idea, like I said before, that this is a post-racial society. It's not. That's all a lie. That's a facade. And so when you have a lot of black people out here who are thinking they can one day get the American dream, they can't get it. And the reality is we don't need to be worried about the American dream. That's the problem right there, is we want to be a part of, quote-unquote, their system. We need to be worrying about building our own dreams, building our own community up. If we're always trying to reach for their goals, we will never get there because it's not set up for us. It's not based on us. It's not inclusive of us, and we don't understand that. And so when you hear all of these black people say, oh, well, all you got to do is do this, 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 and this, and you make it, that's not real. That's going to always, like we said, be a few. But like somebody else said, there are people working at Walmart with master's degrees today. This world is not you know, what everybody's trying to make, or this country, rather, is not what everybody's trying to make it, and it hasn't been for a long time.
It never was.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, never was. Right. It never was.
I mean, once you define assimilation, you'll understand everything. Oh well,
right.
If I have on a suit and tie and I wear a certain kind of shoes and live, you live in a white man's life. I'm just going to put it out there because you got it from the plantation. Everything stems from the plantation to us. Our culture doesn't go farther than the plantation here. Because
what?
They saw Master on the plantation with his nice hips, with his nice knee boots and nice suit. Oh yeah, I want to have a suit like Master got.
Uh-huh.
I want to be like
uh-huh.
Master is. And that's all we aspire for. Stuff like Master got. To hell with Master
wow.
and his stuff. Let's build our people up. Let's all have a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 house, and everybody is living in a house, not just the
that's
people.
Right.
Hello, Eric. Is my mic open?
Oh, my goodness, Lowe's crazy. Lowe's crazy.
Yes.
Eric, this is where you could step in and ask, what the hell do you want? I mean, if you're satisfied with what you have, shut up and just acknowledge it.
A lot of people are satisfied with what they have.
Well, if you're satisfied with what you have.
People are satisfied with what they have and happy with
Okay, wait a minute. God dang. You know, it's quiet until I open the mics, and God dang. Let me give you a point here real fast, all right? Here's a point. You know, black organizations spend $16 billion a year attending conventions, you know, and all kind of stuff like that. But, you know, do not own one major hotel in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What'd that tell you? So it's not like, you know, and you have to look at it like that. You know, it's not like we don't have the finances, but we just don't do the right things with them. I think, you know, that's take on it.
I already said we have spending power. But see, we manufacture nothing. We don't manufacture those buildings. Like Pianchi may have built those motels, but who did he get them from? Who were the contracts? Who had that money was backing? He always said he had to go get his stuff manufactured from the white man. Factually. So manufacturing, you know, the Mother Earth, the land that they own, that's where the money really is. So that's what we don't have. That's all I wanted to say.
Quick question.
Well,
let me say this. If you are representative of your group, you don't want any power. You're satisfied with the status quo.
No. Who said that?
What group?
Wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up.
Who said that?
Wait a minute. Hold up. All right. Thank you. Now, I told y'all before, we will be respectful on this show, dang it. Y'all giving me a headache. So go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, Eric, and I hope you can see this. I mean, hopefully you sit in the bleachers as well as are a player from time to time. But if you listen to the conversation of these people, they argue against success.
What
they
is
say
success?
Living
success
well and acquiring
money. That's what I like to
know. And acquiring money is above the reach of the average person that they identify with. And so if that's the case, you argue against yourself. You undercut yourself.
Can I say something?
You know something, Mr. Solution? With my own life as an example and friends that I have and people that I've known, that hasn't been the experience I've known. And that hasn't been the experience that I've known for other people, the other black people. And
wait
I don't,
a minute,
I don't
when you just heard a guy say, you just
I don't
heard
know,
someone
let me say,
say
this.
Well, that's wanting money or acquiring money, acquiring 1 year's income is a white man's dream. What
I didn't
is
say
that.
He said he didn't say that, but that's, man, you know, there's nothing wrong with being solvent and being able to take care of your responsibilities. And
but see, I don't hear a solvent conversation. I hear what you're saying, but
no,
I don't. I'm just listening, and you hear a conversation.
But let me tell you what you're hearing.
Wow.
Let me say this: you're hearing a conversation speaking of obstacles and limitations and impossibilities. And if you condition your mind to think like that, that's exactly the results that you're going to get. I mean, like, why even try if it's stacked against you? And
that's my point.
A few get through. Why even try? Because my own life is an example. I've been able to turn a number of times in my life dust in my pockets into diamonds simply by applying myself and trying and knew what I was doing. And anyone else can do it too.
Can I respond to Mr.
I don't get it.
Yes, you can, Renee. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, he was talking about success, but you said we're talking ourselves out of success, but whose success are you talking about? You know, the thing is, like I said earlier, we are living to, or we are trying to aspire to a standard set by somebody else for somebody else. You know,
well, then define your own standard. Define your standards now.
Wait a minute. I'll listen to you. Okay. Now, that's the thing, though. Again, there's not going to be this mass level of black people who are just going to be so super successful and reach all these standards. There will always be many, many, many obstacles in our way. That is why I'm saying us as a collective community, we need to come together to establish something for us. As long as we are investing and aspiring to try to be a part of their system, their infrastructure, we will never get to that level. It's not going to happen, okay? Now, we can sit here and name 10, 15, 20, 50 black people who've done that, okay? But there are masses of black people who are not going to do that. And, of course, you're going to say, well, they're not educated, they're not this, they're not that. But those are all for reasons, though. Let's understand that there's reasons for that. That it helped to explain that. That's why we have to stop looking out and look within.
Okay. Let me let him respond to that. All right, go ahead, Mr.
Well, Eric, look, you can respond. The point is either you're going to have solutions or you're not. Now, the only category that I could put this conversation under is evolving. That's the only category that I could put this particular conversation under. I was talking to a guy the other night. The same guy said he was in finance, and he said 1% of the people, well, but you can work for that 1 year's salary, get 3 months' salary, then 6 months' salary, then 1 year's salary, but have that as a goal because no one is going to give you shit. The people who see you down and out, you're knocked down on the canvas, looking up at the sky, they like that position. Certain people don't want to see you do any better. And I'm just coming here, look, I'm not really part of your group. I'm just sharing with you. This is a public forum. It's that sort of thing. And most of you... Most of you wouldn't work with anyone anyway. You don't even work with yourself well.
But the only way I can see this, and I'm just speaking to you directly, I don't have to kiss your ass.
What group are you a part of? That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Solutions knows how to answer that question.
Mr. Solutions knows how to take a swing and slap everybody on the table.
All he only slapped himself. That's all he did.
I'm a part. It's like Eric asked earlier. Is the color everybody respects? So the fact of the matter is, none of you are together. You have no team.
You are the most discombobulated
ragtag group you've ever seen.
All right, now, since I have silenced everyone, let me tell you something. You know, here's the thing. You know, ragtag group, where you're not a part of a group. Well, this is what's going on. You know, and I know we speak a lot of about solutions, and we need to find solutions and so forth and so on. But here's the biggest thing. Before you can come up with a solution, you have to define and figure out how to work on the problem. Don't you think? You know, so, you know, as far as not being together, you know, that's why we have to continue to talk about it to where we can finally come together. And then we can start working on the solution. Mr. Solution, you said it yourself. A lot of times you have to keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again before it starts kicking in to where we can start talking solutions.
Well,
It's easy. But you know, if it takes a lot of going back and forth and so forth and so on, you know, nobody comes together automatically. Not at all. No, that's a given. That's a given. It's not that way. So before we start kicking around, you know, things like we're not trying to get a solution, I think that is very much not true. Now, we may go about it in different ways, yes, you know, but eventually we're going to come to some common ground or the same road, and then we can start going forth as far as solutions. Now, do it happen slower than some people like? Yes. Yes. However, you know, as long as we get there, I think is the main is a priority than just trying to continue to, you know, separate each other. Eventually, we're going to get there. But first, we have to still have the conversation and throw out ideas first before we come up with a solution. That's just my take on it. And, you know, I stand by that. So go ahead and open up your mics back and hope you get some peace and quiet going on. All right.
Well, I just want to say something. Before you come to the solution, Mr. Talk, first of all, even in programming, you must understand the problem. When you understand
Michael,
there's no
hold problem. Up, Michael. Didn't I just say
so
that?
So you have to state the problem. Right. Well, right.
Okay. So why are you repeating okay. what I just said?
Well, can I speak first, ladies?
Go ahead,
May.
But he said it so nicely. He said, understand the problem.
When you have a person saying they're in a group and they're talking to us, what ship are they on? If they can't talk to us and you be with people of your own kind, why are you putting the agitation inside and you don't even know what kind of business is of people's private life? It's not your business anyway. But some people can live on an island with nobody around them and still be happy. So
how do
you don't
want to
live around other people?
What group are you part of?
She's not far off. She's not far off at all because, you know, hey, I'll just say it. Debbie Daly has a great show, and you were a part of that show, and those were your people. You're in a part of this group.
Yeah, he over there with
Jamal. It is what it is.
You
were their
prize.
You were their prize buck at one
Hold on. Really? Really, y'all?
Yeah.
Y'all finna go there?
Yeah, that's what was his group. He said these people.
Yeah, let me tell you what happened.
Mr. Solutions took a slick verbal swipe
with just a few words where he separated himself from the group, and then he made some condescending comments, and he did it so skillfully. That's what I'm admiring.
He slapped so many people in the face,
and everybody's coming on the line and talking about him.
Well, he didn't do it to me. I don't think it was smooth. He do it all the time, but he has no solution.
In my opinion, he didn't do it skillfully, but I just want to say this. Mr. Solutions' comment. Hell, yeah, never mind. Anyway, keep focused. Mr. Solutions' comments to me are just an example of the individuality that is helping to kill the black community. He is saying that he's not part of your group, I guess, speaking about blacks or whatever. That's what it seems like. Well, yeah, when he's driving down the street, I wonder what the police think, what group he belongs to. That's just interesting to me that people come up with all these ways of saying, I'm an individual, I'm not part of the black community. But, sweetheart, you are part of the black community, whether you like it or admit it or not.
But Renee, he was over begging this woman. She let him back on the show, listening to him one night talking to her last week. After they done said all these nasty things to him, he come up with that same crazy crap over here trying to talk to us and think we're supposed to listen to it and think he done said something.
I haven't listened to his show. What did he say over there?
What the hell?
I don't ever go to sleep. I listen to him.
I mean, I have a position.
You went back over there, Ms. Solutions.
Oh, you thought nobody heard you? I did.
We all have forgiveness.
I'm having a fantastic
time.
They go
back and forth. They talk to each other nice on the show. And then they snipe at each other all the time.
All these different names and stuff.
Debbie considers you black, Mrs. Solution. You may not consider yourself black.
Well, let me say this, Michael. I could give a tinker's damn about
the
things you or anyone else thinks. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You limit yourself by what a meaningless entity thinks of
you. Are you black or white?
A meaningless entity.
Hey, well, let me go over that. Don't even have
okay, this is what I say. A lot of people need to take a lesson in logic and English.
That's your problem.
Hey, the point I'm saying is Michael is governed by what a meaningless entity
thinks. Come on, you guys,
be quiet
so he can insult you.
He ain't insulting me. He ain't insulting himself. That's just knowing what he is.
He gets underneath all of your skin. If
that's
I
why my
part
name
of
is
Dave.
Well,
would
don't bother me at all.
Beasley, that's why you're wrong.
I told Mr. Todd to put me in the green room.
And
Mr.
Solution,
it's
we have
a joke, man.
Slave
I'm laughing at it.
We don't
want to
hear him if he
going
to come and talk like this. Why would we want to listen to
slave mentality tonight, Mr. Solution?
Let him finish, please. I
want
to hear what he has to say.
He doesn't
well, see,
get under
the,
my
thing, the thing that you all don't understand, at least most of you, is that the world is kicking your ass. It's not me. I'm not doing it. I'm just sitting on the sideline watching the action.
Then
you
not on the sideline.
No, he ain't on the sideline. He in the line with the foolishness. That's what he be doing. He's
you,
an educator.
And talking about the police,
and
the
not
police
talking about
don't bust. Okay, would you be quiet a minute? This woman just keeps yeah.
You don't
okay.
care about anything.
What I'm saying is people, you notice, and Eric, I agree. Eric, are you there?
Don't worry about Eric.
Oh,
you know
Eric. Help me run the show.
Help him,
Eric. That's a stupid question.
Help him.
Eric, are you there?
Eric, are you
there? Say what you're going to say, please. And may let them talk.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Thank you. What I'm saying is this is the very problem. When I go to do business, I don't give a damn about the opposition because I'm going to steamroll their asses. You know, and I believe in a win-win situation. But, Eric, I agree with what you said, and I did put many of these conversations in that category is evolution. They are evolving. And so, you know, we talk about, I gave you these standards, and these are standards that people could strive to meet. These are empowering standards. I actually love you guys. I'm trying to treat you to something that is elevated above the level that you have grasped.
What are you talking about, man? You're thinking that.
When I say
his life better than me. Boy,
no,
I'm
we like
happy.
You because we need to elevate you.
When I say that you should have all your bills paid, we're talking in
I'm
America.
Good.
When I say you should have all your bills paid, be out of debt, I'm trying to lower your stress and increase your health. And when I say that you should have a 1 year's salary in reserve, not in a 401K, but where you can get it in case of emergencies. Now, I didn't make that up. That's what financial advisors and financial planners advise. And then the bowel movement within the last 12 to 24 hours means that you're healthy. You've gotten the toxins out of your body.
And that's
so
what
you won't
of.
Die prematurely.
Some of them.
Some of them.
And that's what
right.
he's full of.
So Maze, it's like I said
see,
before.
Mrs.
Maze,
not the only one on the earth.
Maze, you should take English as
you are the one.
Maze, you should take English as a second language.
I'm going to help my brother right now. Not everyone wants to live the life you live. I'm going to help you right now, brother, Mr. Solutions. I'm going to give my personal cell phone number over the air so you can call me. I'm 38. I'm going to help you have a full life.
I listen to you regularly enough on
you
this
don't
show.
Know,
you think
you
I would want
to? I
decline. I don't want to talk to you personally. This is enough.
Okay.
This
all
is
right,
sufficient.
Hold on.
Success in getting
hold
married
on.
And being happy.
Oh, God.
Hush. Quiet. Good Lord, because this is going nowhere. Let me bring Siggy14 in, see what they have to add to the conversation. Siggy14, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I love
doing
your conversation. because it's actually madness. Because, in the end, what I'm personally thinking is that you can have great money. I had a job. I earned $40,000 in dollars a year. Now I'm actually on $5,000 a year. So, you know, I dropped a heck of a lot of money. And I still survive now, but I appreciate everything I've got around me now. I have got not much. I used to have a lot. I have got not much now, but I'm much happier having not a lot now. And I have got no debt. I have got no credit. I've got nothing. I'm debt free. And it's a struggle, but I appreciate my life even more now.
Imagine that. Great answers, brother. Great answers. Some feel that you have to have so much just to be comfortable. Some feel, but not everybody.
Right, and I'm just starting to build myself up again. But I watch what I spend, and I watch what I get, and I live within my limits. Now, should my situation again establish itself even more, we have to be very, very careful, and I will have to be very, very careful when I earn again more money. Will I again become greedy and want more
save
things?
More. Right.
Oh, you want to
right?
be like the Joneses.
You have to save more.
Paid.
That's what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
life
because
passes,
I
life passes
when,
up and down.
Yeah, when I was earning a lot, I didn't, to be honest, I was just living and, you know, I was buying stuff from my friends and all this and that. But my friends left when I didn't have nothing.
Absolutely.
And now I know who my friends really are.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, this is great information from this guy.
Yeah, so I know everybody.
Well, I'm giving
everybody
information
teaching from like basic life 101. Mr.
Right.
Solution says, save some money so you can endure some emergencies. That's basically what he's saying.
We all know that.
And take a regular dump. And,
you know what I wanted
and
to
that's just
to
about
say
as common.
I don't care.
I wanted to
a quick thing before I let you people have this. Sister May,
anyway,
see,
I wanted to say something
really
quick
with,
too about this before you let us people have. Who are you?
This is Lo. Oh my God, this is Lo. I'm just about to get off. I got
to say, I thought you was Mr. Solutions because
no,
he's talking about your group, and then when you say you people, I'm like, what? Okay, sorry, go ahead.
All I'm saying is Sister Mays, was I out of line when I tried to give him my personal cell phone number to help him reach happiness? He's
oh,
still
Lord.
Missing
anyway.
Something. He's missing something. He's missing a woman. He's missing
hold up a minute, cuz. Hold up. We ain't even going to. Go ahead, Renee, before I bring cuz in. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay, I was just going to say that this story about the police commissioner who, you know, didn't he call Obama an N-word or whatever, but they're talking about, he resigns now, whatever. But you notice now, I mean, you notice that he was not apologetic at all about it. The reality is
people need
to wake the hell up. We need to wake up. All of these things are going on around us, and we keep sitting there doing the same damn thing because it's insanity. Okay, what's going on now is people are becoming less and less inclined to, quote unquote, look out for black people or consider how they speak or whatever, and we're going right along with it. You have black young people now who are letting their white friends, their white friends say the N-word. And so us as a community, okay, when are we going to respond to this stuff going on and try to actually do something together? Because you have parts of us in the black community who will say, okay, well, they want to complete assimilation into white infrastructure. Then we have the black people who want to help us as a community. I think at this point now, the black folk who are conscious, who want to do better, I think it's time that we have to separate from the rest of the group because This is going nowhere fast. I mean, we're already at the bottom. How much more?
So you're preaching unity through separation.
Absolutely. I mean, that can only be the way because you're not going to save everybody.
Right. So why are you going to try to divide?
You're not
going to
save everybody.
You know,
you're not going to
no one.
All right, hold on.
Really?
Wait a minute, Michael. If there's
parts among black folks that wish to assimilate.
Okay, I said hold on, damn it. Now, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Let me bring Cuz in. I done heard y'all talk all day. Let me listen to Cuz for a moment. All right. Welcome to the show, Cuz. What's going on?
What's going on, everybody? Hello. Just sitting here listening, man, and listening to everybody with their opinions, and everybody got some good stuff. I mean, y'all listen to Solution. I mean, he actually has some good points.
Solution.
I mean, y'all have some good points. Everybody got good points. Solutions is only telling y'all a way to do things if you want to be more comfortable in your daily lives. And I think everybody on this line, regardless to what y'all are saying, y'all have goals to be more comfortable in your daily life. I mean, you're doing something to try to be comfortable. So, I mean, so if you quit bashing a guy, listen to him, and vice versa, y'all, you could actually hear what he's saying. Now, I'm not trying to defend him or nothing, but I'm just listening to the conversation. He's only telling you, I don't see anything wrong with having a year's worth of salary.
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all, man.
He's saying good things, he's saying good things, and that's my colleague and a friend. I like Mr. Solutions a lot, but, you know, when you take a swipe at people like that and remove yourself from the group and then say something condescending to them, and he does that on purpose, you know, people get more caught up into that, into the message. People don't care about your message if you're taking swipes at them like
that. Well, Vernon, why should he have to tell people? I'm wondering why he has to tell people that already do that or know how to do that. Some people pay their insurance for a whole year, but they don't have to say nothing for a whole year and all of that stuff. So he's not telling us something we don't already know.
We're
a bunch of ignorant people that's out here that don't know what they're doing.
How are you
going to come into a conversation and have a conversation and then try to put somebody down in a swipe? Something wrong with you.
No. How are you going to come to yourself in a conversation and separate yourself? Even though you come with information, separate yourself like you're better than, you're higher. The people that you're talking to is poor.
You're rich.
None of us on this phone don't know none of our bank accounts. He could be blind in a wheelchair for all I know. I never know about that man. What I'm saying is how he's coming off. So, like you said, we all have good points. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, yeah, everybody has good points. Like,
well, he ain't trying to teach me
that. There's nothing wrong with having a year's worth of salary.
And having
all your bills cash current.
That's a good feeling.
But now the thing about the bowel movement within the last 24 hours.
Does that make any sense?
that's probably kind of off the wall, you know. But the rest of it makes a lot of sense.
Hold on a second. If you were plugged up for 2 or 3 days, I bet you would want to have a bowel movement.
That's what's wrong with them. The people that have them every day don't have to have one.
Oh, you guys are just not being realistic. Go two or three days or more and have a bowel movement, you'd be like, wow, I feel a whole lot better.
But if you stopped up there, you don't talk about a bowel movement.
I felt like I was.
Well, something wrong with you. You need to be having some apple and water.
All right. All right, we didn't run out of stuff to talk about now, because y'all.
Well, that's what Vernon just saying. What they didn't make no sense.
We definitely ran out of stuff to talk about, but you know, when you think about it, that does make sense though a little bit. You know, for those that have those issues, well, you would rather have them every day anyway. But anyway,
most definitely.
Yeah. Boy, it's good to hear your voice there, cuz. I'm telling you, I see you all the time, but, you know, I know you've been busy, but it's good to have you on, you know. Yeah. Oh, your cuz done ran away. I guess he didn't want you telling on him. But anyway. Well, hold on. Don't go nowhere, because I'm finna let everybody get their final words in. And I want to get yours also, okay? So hold on, and we're going to start from the top and work on down. So starting with Mr. Beasley, your final words today, sir.
Everybody have a nice evening.
Well, thank you, and you have a good one. See you tomorrow. All right, let's go to Mr. Michael. You're up.
Well, great conversation. Sometimes people take people's words and they come with their own conclusions. I don't think no one is sitting up here saying no one be ambitious. I have children. I would never tell my kids not to be ambitious and not make money in America. But when we were talking about someone making $40,000 a year and he was talking about investing and trying to do that, of course you can try to achieve that, but it's going to take time.
And, you know, if you're going to have a system and if that $40,000 is going to be liquidated, is it going to be in retirement accounts, you know, can you liquidate it? Can you get it without penalties, things of that nature? You have to talk about all of that when you just make blanket statements. And I think we should have more of that conversation, more dialogue. But, Mr. Talk, I just wanted to say when you came on, you said that someone had to have $25 billion to sit at the table to own a basketball team when the basketball team is worth less than $500 million. I thought the I think you're getting the millions and billions maybe mixed up. But that's all I have to say. You guys have a nice one.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And if you don't understand the financial side of things, then Mike, you just don't understand. All right, let's see. Mr. Solution, you're next.
Hey, stop muting me, Eric. Look here, I think you gave me the greatest hope, and look, I have nothing against anybody. I don't. I enjoy my life to the greatest extent, and I would like to see more people enjoying their life, but I find the people who are most contentious generally are those who don't enjoy life themselves. I would never resort to a personal attack unless I'm attacked first. I would prefer to talk about inflation, taxation, arbitrary devaluation. I can talk about the real issues of life that push people around that are invisible to most people because they just don't have that particular acumen or skill. But what I would say is I think you made the most salient or prominent point, and that was that the people are evolving in their conversation. And so at least that gives me a modicum of solace. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. And see you tomorrow. You have a wonderful day. All right, Maze, you're up.
Hello. I have lived my life to the fullest, and I'm happy. If I die tomorrow, I'll still be happy. And I'm not trying to be like the Joneses or nobody else. And I don't need Mr. Solution to give me nothing on Claude Anderson and nobody else. He has what he has, and we have what we have, which he will never know. So don't try to put people down saying they don't read, they can't get $1,000 in their, don't have $1,000 in their pocket. People don't need to hear stuff like that because he don't know what they have. They probably could put $5,000 in his pocket. You know people that pay for their land and don't own nothing, owe nobody nothing. They're just here to be happy. Pay the house off in 5 years, and he probably still got a mortgage. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Maze, and you have a good one also. All right, let's see. Miss Renee, you in the house.
Hey, yeah, I just want to say I think, you know, hopefully people can understand what I'm saying, but I know some won't. But, you know, not everybody is going to agree. I mean, it's just the reality of it. And if we are continually trying to get everyone to get on the same page, how redundant is that? You know, how that holds us back. That slows us down. It stifles progress. So my thing is that it's not about saying that black people who are not ready or do not have the mindset can never join in for whatever we're doing, but it's the fact that the people who are ready at that given time are ready. That has absolutely nothing to do with socioeconomic level because, in all actuality, blacks who have more money, they may be very unwilling to participate because they feel comfortable or whatever. And then, in fact, it will most likely be the people who are on the lower socioeconomic level who see what's going on, who want to do better. So I'm not, you know, doing anything in a class kind of sense, you know, the poor people versus the have and have nots. No. It's the reality of black people who are ready. If you're ready, then let's go. Also, lastly, I want to say I agree with everything Lo was saying earlier before I called in. You have these black folk now who are aligning themselves and protesting and defending the gay movement when that is the dumbest thing a black person can do. It really is. Why are you helping, fighting for, holding on to a community that, number one, does not give a damn about you,
And then number two, it's hurting your people. Why the hell would you be fighting for their rights to be on TV and all this other crap? And that is just ridiculous. So everybody look up the book, After the Ball by Marshall Kirk. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And you have a great day and see you tomorrow also. All right. Last but not least, my cousin Vernon, you got the last word, sir.
What's going on, man? Great show. I enjoy hearing everybody. Everybody has some good points. You know, like I said, sometimes it just pays, regardless of your feelings about different people, just to listen to them, you know. And sometimes if you listen to what they're really saying, and I mean that comes, you know, it's for both sides. You know, they make sense. You know, like I said, I don't see any. And my cousin, he can quit that, man. I guarantee you that sucker got a year's salary put up. But good show, Eric, man. Man, y'all take care, man. I'll holler at you.
All right, sir. You be careful out there. And thank you for calling in. All right. Wow. Woo, what a way to start the week off, huh? I'm telling you. Some great stuff going on today. And my final words. Let's see what can I get in here as final words. You know, I've often said this, and I'll say it again. You know, sometimes, you know, when stuff is being said, I think there's times where we get a little bit too sensitive or too defensive on certain things, you know, and sometimes it does pay to actually look beyond, how can I say, the attitude or abrasiveness and find the good stuff, that's the good information that's being put out. You know, everybody don't think that way. That's fine. But, you know, even with Michael, even though Michael repeats things and says things, sometimes he even has some good points every now and then. You know, so Vernon had a good point. You know, sometimes you just have to be big enough to think of around that. And actually, you know, part of the communication phase is listening. You know, and in a lot of cases, a lot of us are very poor at that. We don't listen. As soon as we hear something, only thing we're thinking about is how are we going to respond or cut somebody down. That's part of the problem we have in our community anyway. Now, as far as Renee made a good point. And I said this before also, you know, when we were segregated, we got along a whole lot better. We did. I've said this before. And so there might be some truth in it as to, you know, if there are some people ready to go, let's get it going. You know, let's make it happen. And hopefully those that are not ready will see that progress is being made and they will go ahead and join the train as the train leaves the station. You know, but before we get to any of that, we have to have the conversations. We have to listen to each other. You know, yes, we're not going to agree on everything. Heck, that's just human nature. It's not going to happen. But there has to be some type of common ground reach. And then we can go ahead with the solution process and then putting it in action. Let's be honest. It's a process. It's a process. You know, but first, the biggest thing we have to do is listen to each other and take bits and pieces and put it together to put the puzzle together. That's right. We have to put the puzzle together because that's what it is, a big puzzle. You know, that's what it is. We can look over here and say they're doing this. We can look over there and say they're doing that. But the bottom line comes down, what are we doing? What are we doing? That's what I'm saying. And Renee, I mean, she said a good point, too. You know, we out here supporting, you know, but we supporting the great gay groups. We throw ourselves in with the Latinos, the Hispanics. But we forgetting about ourselves. And that's like I said before. You know, we're not requiring anything from ourselves. You know, we good to jump on the boat with somebody else and join their causes. But once we start actually putting the onus on ourselves and making ourselves responsible for some things, we can talk all we want to. It's like blowing hot air. That's all I got to say. And y'all think the show today was hot? Man, I got one for you tomorrow. The topic tomorrow is, are you ready to die? And I'm just going to leave it right there. You can imagine what I'm talking about. You can read the description and you get a better idea. But I'm sure that one's going to be a hot one tomorrow also. I want to thank everybody who participated in the show today. You know, Mr. Solution, Beasley, Vernon, Renee, Mays, Michael, just everybody, you know, everybody who was in the chat room. And I really appreciate it. Everybody listening on your different devices, thank you for supporting the show. And it's going to be good, man. I'm telling you, we doing some good things. And I know it wouldn't be possible without everybody else on the line. Let's see. You want to send any comments, send them to ericletstalk@gmail.com or send them to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And we can go ahead and I'll respond to any of your requests. No problem. All right. Just remember, that's going to do it for me. Let's see, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. But before you forgive anyone else, make sure you've forgiven yourself as well. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, man, everything else is gravy. All right? Well, that's going to do it for me. I'm going to take y'all out of here today with the streak. And y'all have fun, man. See y'all tomorrow. I'm out of here.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over by the tomatoes, and here he comes, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel." And it's too late. She'd already been in since.
Here he comes.
Boogie-dah, boogie-dah.
There he goes.
Boogie-dah, boogie-dah.
Well,
if they call in the street,
look at
that,
look at
that. Fastest thing on 2 feet.
Look at that, look at that.
He's just as proud as he can be. His anatomy, he gonna give us a peek. Well, if they call in the street,
look at that, look at that.
He likes to show off his physique.
Look at that, look at that.
If there's an audience to be found, he'll be streaking it round, inviting public critique.
This is your Action News reporter once again, and we're here at the gas station. Pardon me, sir, did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was just in here getting my car checked, and he disappeared out of the traffic. Come streaking around the grease right there. Didn't have nothing on but a smile. I looked in there, and Ethel was getting her cold drink. I hollered, "Don't look, Ethel!" It's too late. She'd already been mooned. Flash rocked there in front of the shop and saw
it. He ain't
boogity, boogity.
He ain't boogity,
boogity, boogity.
He's just in the mood to ride in the news.
Oh, yes, they call in the street.
Boogity, boogity.
He likes to turn the other cheek.
Boogity, boogity.
He's always making the news. When just his tennis shoes, guess you could call him unique.
Once again, your Action News reporter in the booth at the gym covering the disturbance at the basketball playoff. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, see. Hey, Tom, I was just going down there to get Ethel a snow cone. Here he come, right out of the cheap seat. Dribbling. Right down the middle of the court. Didn't have on nothing but his tee-head. Made a hook shot and got out through the concession stand. I hollered up at Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" Too late. He'd already got a free shot. Grand step. Right there in front of the home page. Well, if they call in the street.
Here comes the kid. Who's that with it?
Ethel.
Is that you, Ethel?
He's just as proud as he can be.
What do you think you're doing?
His anatomy, he gonna give us a
you
key.
Get your cone, dog.
Well, if they call in the street.
Ethel, where you go?
Bye-bye.